Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Ah, Larry. Rest in peace. Should I mention something? Nicole, should I mention something that I know I shouldn't mention?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
It's a pet peeve of mine. I'll just mention it.
Who's regarding?
Well, it's regarding Larry King's death, but it's a comment that I heard many, many times in the 24 hours since, or whatever it's been, 30 hours since we found out that he passed. I've heard many people say that Larry King has gone to that big broadcast studio in the sky. And I hear that a lot when people pass, that, they've gone to a better place. Larry King was an absolutist atheist. And I still liked listening to him when I was young, when I was a kid, when he had the overnight show. The overnight radio show was him at his peak. I wasn't a huge fan of his CNN interview show and all of that. But it always annoys me when I hear everybody say, he's gone to the broadcast studio of the sky or whatever. When it's somebody who didn't believe. Because I don't know in whose faith and maybe there are some people who have some kinds of faiths that, even if you don't believe in a higher power, you still ascend to some paradise.
Well, maybe you get the opportunity, maybe that it's presented and you get the opportunity to change your mind going in.
But based on all of the empirical data that we have about him, he was an atheist, and that means he probably didn't go to heaven because he didn't believe. And in most faiths, you have to have some sort of faith in order to move on after this very temporary blink of an eye that we have on this earth. So I just, like I said, I shouldn't have said anything. I don't like this knee jerk. Everybody goes to a better place. No, if you don't believe, then you don't go to a better place, and that's fine. That's your choice, and. Maybe those of us who are believers will be proven wrong.
Maybe it's not heaven, but maybe it's still a broadcast place in the sky somewhere. Who knows, right?
I don't think so. I'm just not seeing that. So anyway, okay. That's my
little. None of us know anything other than what we believe, right?
I know.
We know what we believe.
I'm as certain of my faith as I am of that I'm talking to you over the radio right now. It is every bit as real and as certain to me as you and everything else in my life. So, okay. It's a little pet peeve of mine.
Maybe 5 minutes before he went, he found his faith. So you never know.
Perhaps.
We just don't know.
Perhaps.
We just don't know.
I hope that he did. But, you know, you hear when real bad people die and then they always say, he went to a better place. No, probably not. As far as I know. Okay, I better move on. I got all kinds of other stuff here, but let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
A 29-year Tacoma police veteran is being investigated now for what they describe as a deadly attack on a violent mob that encircled his police car on Saturday night. And then last night there were riots in Tacoma as people were protesting what this cop did. But as I talked about a couple of hours ago, I've heard a lot of descriptions that this cop drove into a crowd, which the video does not back up. The cop was responding because there are these violent street gangs in the Tacoma area, very well known to police, very hateful of cops, these street gangs. And they were street racing. They were doing, there's probably a hipper term, but they were doing donuts and spin outs in an intersection. And they do this. They block off streets, and then they do some very dangerous things. So police were called, and a Tacoma officer, as I said, a 29-year veteran, he rolled up in what was a fairly empty lane in the street. And as soon as the officer rolled up, a mob encircled his car. They started hitting the car. They were kicking it. One person reportedly yelled, "Pull him out." And as I said, these are street gangs that are known for their hatred and violence of cops. And the officer with his, and I'll play you one of the videos. There are lots of videos of this. The officer has his lights flashing. His siren is going intermittently, and he's honking his horn to try to get the mob to move out of the way.
Hit those people.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and right here, the officer accelerates, and he goes through the mob. So he, in my view, my interpretation, he didn't drive into a crowd. He drove out of a crowd. The crowd encircled his car.
God! God! Holy f***! Oh, my God!
And in driving away, the officer knocked one person to the ground, then rolled over him, breaking his ankle. Here is a witness talking about how people were hitting the vehicle right before the officer pulled away.
What's going on?
Now, there's a guy who's going to heaven. That's a person with deep faith there. Okay, so I asked you at the beginning of the show if you are outraged by what this officer did. And, man, I will tell you, at least 90% of the respondents in our text messages said absolutely not, that this guy was legitimately in fear of his life, that he did. And I put it in terms that, and this could happen to any of us. We've had lots of citizens whose cars have been encircled by mobs. And this could happen to any of us. What do you do? Do you sit there? If the mob's coming after you, if they hate you because of your skin color or because of the uniform you wear for work or for whatever reason, are you going to sit there and let them smash your window, pull you out, attack you? Or are you going to try to get out? And the vast majority of my respondents said, no, of course, we're going to try to get out. That down in Tacoma, you know, the mayor is trying to placate the protesters right now, but from the 425, the Tacoma officer did what anyone else would do when surrounded by an angry mob, and that's drive away. The media needs to start considering the officer's perspective on this. But I've been watching the coverage, and it, you know, overwhelmingly says that he drove into a crowd of people, and I just disagree with that. He drove up into an empty lane, was surrounded by people who, you know, seemed to want to destroy the guy. And then that's when he got away. And yes, he did run over somebody. If you are, you know, encircling a police car with the siren going, horn honking, lights flashing, it's a prudent thing to move away and to not stop an emergency vehicle with your body. So we'll continue to track this. I've heard from a lot of cops have contacted me about just how violent this gang is down in Tacoma and their professed hatred of cops, and that the police officer putting himself in a position where mob justice could do some really harmful things to him would be suicide. But I'm sure if this cop's a 29-year vet, he had to know that what he was doing was going to create another firestorm of controversy. And it has. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, last night I got an email from one of my favorite listener tipsters, Linda, on Capitol Hill. And she told me that her husband was had finally snagged a vaccine appointment at Edmonds Community College for today, but he was notified that it was rescheduled. And then she sent the follow-up letter, and she suspects that there's something else going on with the vaccines that is a reason why Washington's been in the bottom third to bottom half of all the states in getting vaccines delivered. I promised her I would try to get answers. Jake Scherf is the chief executive officer of the Seattle Visiting Nurse Association that sent out this email. Jake, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Of course. Thanks for the time, Dory.
Okay, the first thing that my listener Linda brought up, and she sent me the letter, and she said that all the vaccinations were canceled today due to the threat of winter weather conditions. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. We were tracking potential winter weather conditions in the convergence zone from the King-Snohomish County line up to Everett. And so we had to make a decision in cooperation with Snohomish County, who are partners in administering these sites, to reschedule the appointments to later in the week.
And were there winter threats in the lowlands? Because, I mean, I was watching forecast late last week, all this weekend, it's 45 degrees this afternoon. That's what was forecast, was 45 degrees. How could there have been a winter weather threat for today?
So we were tracking that there was going to be a good chance of potential lowland snow in that convergence zone, and obviously that didn't materialize. But just for the safety of our patients, we made the decision to reschedule those appointments. And a lot of that has to do with the demographics that we're seeing. In Edmonds and Everett, with this Tier 1B, we're seeing a lot of seniors, and we were concerned that if there were conditions that were hazardous to drive in, that people would feel like compelled that they had to go out and get their appointment if there was snow or ice on the road. So we didn't end up canceling any appointments. Everyone who made an appointment with us still has the opportunity to receive their vaccination. Just out of precaution, we moved those to later in the week.
Okay. And so Linda's fear was that there was something fishy going on with either the amount of doses that you guys had, because she couldn't believe, and frankly, I couldn't either, Jake, that things were canceled because of weather today. Is there any problem with getting the doses you need of this vaccine?
No. So every appointment that we have those doses in stock. There's no threat of any of those appointments being canceled due to vaccine shortages. Governor Inslee has cut the dosage that we're expecting to receive later this week, but those are for next week, and we haven't released any appointments for next week at this time.
Okay. Hey, will you do me a favor, Jake? I told all my listeners on Friday that the weather forecasts were wrong and there wasn't going to be any lowland snow. Would you call me next time before you cancel appointments instead of checking with these other meteorologists?
Sure. And, you know, I think we learned a lot about this. There's so many people involved in these clinics that, you know, I wish we had the ability, like a school district, to let people know day of and watch the ticker on the news. But we have to make these decisions in advance just because of all the different parties that are involved. So I think we learned a good lesson here. We're coming up with an alternative strategy for messaging around potential winter weather because we're going to see it again as we head into February. And I do apologize for the inconvenience for any of our patients. Some folks are planning to come together, and they're driving from Shelton or Yakima or you know, other counties that don't have access. So we're working with them on an individual basis to meet their needs.
I don't understand that either. I know you're not this policy guy, but why wouldn't we have vaccination location close to most of the population centers in the state, whether it be Shelton or Yakima or Snohomish County. Why do people have to drive so far to get vaccinated?
It's a good question. It's a vaccine supply issue for some counties. It's a provider issue. Snohomish County has done a great job with mass vaccination sites. They have more mass vaccination sites than any other county. Seeing a ton of people come up from King County as well.
My listener is from Capitol Hill in Seattle, and her husband had to go up there. So, yeah, and I'm not blaming you for that. I can't for the life of me understand why we haven't gotten more centers open around the state. All right, Jake, well, I appreciate you explaining this to my listener, Linda, and to me and my listeners, and wish you all the best going forward.
Of course. Thank you for the time.
Okay, you bet. Jake Scherf, he is Chief Executive Officer of the Seattle Visiting Nurse Association. All right, up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
You know, I had something else I was going to talk about here. But the more I think about this, and Jake sounds like a very nice man. We appreciate him coming on. And Seattle Visiting Nurses Association is, just a small biz. So I'm not faulting them, and that's why I was so nice to him. But late last week, Nicole, on Friday, I should have asked you to pull a clip of this. Because Friday, didn't I tell all of our listeners that it wasn't going to snow this weekend?
Yes. Course
in no uncertain terms.
Some of us just like to live with the hope that it might snow. An extra preparedness,
Nobody has more childlike delight at snow than me. I want snow. I want snow more than anybody who's listening right now, or as much as anybody. But I was looking at the five-day forecast, like I told Jake. High 46, low 36. I knew it wasn't going to snow in the lowlands. And I suspect, since I'm not a trained meteorologist, if I can figure that out. But and I don't blame the weather people, because they often are, everybody knows nothing generates clicks like snow stories. So, and on TV news, nothing draws eyeballs. And so
I don't
there's
think that's
pressure.
The only reason that they do it. And they don't want to be accused of being underprepared or.
Right. And I'm not accusing
not
any
preparing people.
Right. The meteorologists are all very nice people. And I think that I think that they are at times pressured to at least play along. But then they get into their forecast and they usually say, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But the news tease leading in, are we going to have snow this weekend? Stay tuned. And then they go to the actual expert and they go, well, probably not. But it's always teased, it's headlined. But think about this. A bunch of people had their vaccinations canceled because of a winter weather advisory this weekend. And all I'm saying is, if the low is going to be in the mid to upper 30s, we're probably not going to get snow. It's just a handy little guide that we should all use going forward here.
Rarely would we get enough snow to cancel anything. I mean, you should be able to, it's probably swashed by the time it hits the road too. So that's especially weird.
Dory, if you want to know about, I think I'm the great predictor of when we're going to have a snowfall, because the last two Februaries, I've taken a week off of work and it happened to snow that week. So the next time I have off is this coming February, the last week. So it might snow that week.
Okay. I'll take that. I would love that. I'd love to have some February snow. How do you say, Sean, this is a very unfair question for me to ask live on the air. Uh-huh. How do you say the second month of the year?
February.
You leave out an R.
You know what? If I'm trying to sort of be a jerk to someone, I'll say February, to like kind of like what you're doing to me now.
you'll pronounce it correctly to be a jerk to somebody?
Yeah, just to be like, I'm better than you.
You say it, Dory. Let me hear you say it.
Yeah, you say it.
It's February.
Yeah, you almost over-announce the R, though. So to most of us, it's almost, it's not a silent R, but it's barely a pronounce.
How do you say the third, day of the week?
Well, I'll tell you how I say the third month. It's mock.
Okay.
No, seriously, it's as silly as leaving the R out of March.
What about Wednesday? We don't say Wednesday.
That's because that's an incorrect pronunciation.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
All right.
Okay.
It's Monday, Dory. Come on.
It's going to be a long week, Sean. February.
I don't know. I think I'm with Sean on this one.
Yes.
February. Wait.
How can you be with being wrong? That doesn't make any sense.
It's not wrong. Like I said, it's just a pronunciation. Like I said, you almost over-pronunciate the R.
By saying February? That's me over-enunciating the R?
I'm not sure if you did on that one.
How do you say the full word?
You often say February. I don't know.
How do you say the full word for Mensi?
Okay, it's 27 after 2. We got to go.
All right. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
It's one of the great controversies that has ever enveloped the Dory Monson Show. Text me. Is it February or the incorrect pronunciation? 98973. Lots more to come. We'll check the news for you. And then the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So when are our kids going to get back in school? Last week, we told you that in the Bellevue School District, there was a lot of things said that just are not rooted in fact. By the way, Nicole, did you ever reach out to the Bellevue Union president who was scheduled to come on with us on Friday? Did we reach out to them for today?
I didn't hear back from them today about coming on today. Originally, I heard back later in the afternoon on Friday, and she said they're going to be busy all weekend, and they'll decide the day of, and no, I haven't heard anything today. So
okay. Because I've said
they were negotiating today, so maybe tomorrow.
Yeah,
was my thought.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I heard. Okay, we'll try to get her on tomorrow because last week I heard things from teachers and from the head of the union that just didn't make any sense. This teacher, she's told Cairo 7 that. She was putting her whole family at risk if she went back in class.
Anytime I go into the building, I'm putting my family at risk. So my husband, my kids.
Okay. And I told you that there was a huge new study from the American Academy of Pediatrics. 100,000 kids and staff, zero incidents of kids spreading coronavirus to teachers. And if the teachers, when they're encountering other adults, use the same social distancing and masking and all of that, they are at certainly no more risk than they are going to the grocery store. Flight attendants are in, a pilot wrote to me last week and said, they're in a tube with adults for, you know, often 4 to 6 hours. And they do their job. And the teachers, this is Allison from the teachers' union, saying why the teachers won't go back to work or wouldn't as of last week.
We will all still show up to provide educational opportunities for it.
Because it's putting their lives on the line. And again, there is no empirical data that backs that up in the states and the countries that have gone back to in-person learning. So what's happening in our schools is the unions do not want their members going back to work. A lot of teachers who know the reality, and the reality is you're more danger driving to the school building than you are of dying from COVID once you get to the building. But I know lots of teachers, and I heard from many teachers who are defying their union, who want to get back in class, who know that the kids are hurting. I bring this up again today because guess who the teachers union has hired? University of Washington guy who, you know, claims to be a pandemic expert, Dr. Vin Gupta. And he is now pushing the union's message that it's dangerous for the kids to go back into the classroom or the teachers to go back in with the kids. What I find fascinating about this is last spring, same man, Dr. Vin Gupta, said this about coronavirus.
I think we're overthinking this whole epidemic here. This is, frankly, not as severe as the flu. So we need to keep that in mind.
All right. Laura McCorkle wants to ask about travel. How does travel affect our risk and how does it affect the risk?
So he said it's no more dangerous than the flu last spring. Now, a lot of time has gone. Maybe you've learned a lot more. Or maybe you haven't learned anything more. I mean, he said that with certainty. He didn't say, well, we don't know a lot about this particular pandemic. We have a lot to learn. He said with certainty, you know, just like the government with certainty has told us, yeah, don't wear masks. They don't do any good. And then, you know, Joe Biden, mask mandate. Everything flips around. But it's interesting that the same person who said, this is no different than the flu.
I think we're overthinking this whole epidemic here. This is, frankly, not as severe as the flu.
Oh, no, he didn't say no different. He said not as severe as the flu. And now he's hired by the teachers union to tell us and them, yeah, you can't go back to class because it's dangerous. So just understand that an awful lot of information is being manipulated, not for public health reasons and not for what's best for the kids, but because there are agendas that are very different at play. And the reason I bring all of this up is because the New York Times has a story today about the nation's fifth largest school district, Clark County, Nevada, where Las Vegas is. They emergency this weekend said, we're going to get back to in-person education as quickly as possible after a surge of student suicides throughout the district. Again, this is according to the far left-wing New York Times. And it says that this shocking rash of student suicides has school districts across the country rethinking the strategy of in-home and online learning. The New York Times reported the spate of student suicides in and around Las Vegas has pushed the Clark County District, the fifth largest in the country, bringing students back as quickly as possible. They say that mental health is intrinsically linked to physical health. We all know that's true. You know that's true. I know it's true. And our kids are still trapped behind a screen. And school districts know what's going on. Parents know what's going on. And I suspect teachers and teacher unions know what's going on. But the teachers' union still, despite, and we told you about the University of Washington study a few months ago about student suicides and ODs. That was the CDC. Student suicide and ODs hitting record numbers. People know that children are actually dying. And the union is still pushing out and telling their teachers to push out this phoniness that, well, we're putting our lives on the line if we go back to class. Children are dying because they're not back in class. And now it's the New York Times finally on board with that as well. It's time for the teachers' union to think about the kids. Okay, quick time out. And then we'll get to our favorite sound bites of the day. Oh, and I've got a fantastic story to share with you about a guy who was caught cheating by his wife with pictures on his cell phone. Oh, wait till you hear this story. It's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Great way to kick off the week. Been a solid afternoon. Okay, I have a story for you. Nicole and I were talking that in the olden days, which was a year ago, we were still doing today's sign, the end is near, which was a little bit that I came up with real early on when I first got this radio show. And it was just, you know, taking a little funky story in the news. And then beginning last March, it got a little too real because, you know, too many people were dying and having health problems. And I thought, well, that's no longer funny. Today's sign, the end is near. But if we brought it back, I don't know. What do you think, Nicole? Should we bring back today's sign?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with bringing it back. I was okay with it being gone, too. I mean, like I said, it just didn't feel right. But I mean, if you feel there's some days where it may still not feel right, but we can bring it back most days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. You can give us your opinion too. 989-973. You can text us. Okay. So this would be the type of story we would do in today's sign. It's a story, and this, it's a true story. I went and found a newspaper article to back it up, and I saw the mugshot of the woman in the story. So this wife, she was looking at her husband's, apparently he hasn't changed his little security code to get into his phone forever, and she knows it, and she picks up his phone, and she decides to look at his pictures. And at first of all, I would never do that to my wife's phone. She has no reason to do that to mine because I haven't been out of the house for a year, for crying out loud. But this wife decided to look at her husband's pictures, and what she saw infuriated her. She saw a picture of her husband with a younger, skinnier woman than what the wife is. And then she swipes it, and there's another picture of him with the same woman, young, skinny, and another one. And then there are a bunch of pictures. And she was furious. So she confronted her husband, and she was holding a knife, and she stabbed him. She stabbed her husband repeatedly before he could get the knife away from her. And now the wife has landed in prison. And it turns out the pictures she was looking at were pictures of her and her husband when they were dating about 12 years ago. And she was much younger and much skinnier at the time. And her husband hasn't changed that much in 12 years, but the wife apparently has. And so I'm looking at a mugshot of her, and they put a black band in the picture over her eyes. But she has been arrested, and she has been charged with attempted murder now for stabbing her husband because he had pictures of him and her on his cell phone.
Would you recognize yourself in all pictures, Dory?
I, just the other day, Nicole, I was looking at some of our Europe pictures from 16 years ago, almost 17 years ago, when my wife and three girls and I went to Europe, and I can't believe how much I've changed in those 16, 17 years. It's really depressing.
I think that a lot of times when I see pictures, although, yeah, I would still recognize myself, though.
Well, yeah, I would think so. But I tell you what, I've changed, man. Okay, with that as your prelude, let me get to just, what do I have time for? Maybe one favorite soundbite. This one would be, I've got two. Susie Levine, who's leaving the state for the Biden administration after botching unemployed people being able to get benefits after letting so-called Nigerian scammers steal $650 million. A listener pointed out she had a TED Talk a few years ago.
So I'm going to be talking today about five failures in 5 minutes or perhaps even less. And I want to share with you, today is my 100th day on the job. I got here June 2nd. And so I'm very excited to be able to celebrate that with you all, especially talking about an area that is near and dear to my heart. And that is failure, which is a bit of a head scratcher in terms of why that's near and dear to my heart.
One we're well familiar with here in Washington. All right, good luck, Biden administration, with Susie Levine. That's going to do it for us. Tom and Curly are coming up next, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. God bless you in these crazy times.
I'm Nicolas Cage, and I approve this message.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.